to bow our heads for the offering. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and thank you for your many blessings. And pray that you will be with each and every one of us and bless this offering that is about to be given. We pray and ask this in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.
So thankful to be here on this beautiful Sunday morning, to be able to welcome you in the house of the Lord. So thankful that we could all come together and meet in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's in His purpose each time we gather that we come to honor His name, to sing praises to His name. And it's a beautiful day for us to be able to come together collectively to be able to worship. I'd like to introduce the people that the brethren who are sharing with me in ministry today. And we look forward to being able to have equal participation in all that we do to honor our Lord and Savior Jesus. We're thankful to be able to have the people on my right. We got Caleb Postlewaith. He's going to be bringing our invocation today. Thankful to have 70 Jim Nolan from Devon Park here to share with us. Look forward to his ministry as a 70, to be able to recognize the spirit in which he carries with him and the desire that he has to spread the message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And on my left here, we have Deacon Brian Perry. And each of us recognize that we all have equal responsibility in serving you in any way that we can and being able to have the Lord share with us. We're going to, for my call to worship, for those who have their scriptures and would like to follow along, I'm going to be reading out of the 40th chapter of Isaiah. I'm going to read verses 9, 10, and 11. O Zion that bringeth forth good tidings, get thee up and to the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. For behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. And verse 10 of chapter 41. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with thy right hand of my righteousness. We pray that as we come forth together in the order of service, that we will all have a desire to unite our hearts and our faith in this in ministry.
Our easy person here, can we have the input somewhere in there?
Yep, he can do it right now. We can do that right now.
Thank you. Storm clouds round me roll. I'm tossed about in turmoil. It's growing very cold. By myself, I'd never make it. But this one thing I know, when I speak the name of Jesus, the storm clouds have to go. My sorrows disappear. When I say, Father, He drives away my fear. Say, Savior, my blinded eyes can see. When I say, Jesus, He speaks peace. Say, Master, my sorrows disappear. When I say, Father, He drives away my fear. Say, Savior, my blinded eyes can see. When I say, Jesus, He speaks peace to me.
Stand together and sing hymn number 211, Hail to the Brightness. Have a couple songs today of Zion, and that was, I called Brother Nolan, asked him if there was any special hymns. He said, let's sing about Zion today. Sounds like a wonderful idea. So we have two songs that we'll be singing today on on Zion. And today, let's stand and sing Hail to the Brightness, and then we'll have Brother Caleb give us our invitation to worship prayer.
Father, we thank you and praise you for this sunny day we've had to gather together and to worship you. Lord, I'd ask that you would join us this day and be among us, Lord, as we worship you. Lord, I thank you for the preparation and the time you've spent with your servant Jim in preparing the message for this hour. And I'd ask that you'd be with each of us, that our hearts might be in tune, that we might take that message and take it to heart, and help us to understand it and how we can make it be a part of our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
For those of you who have your scriptures with you, I'm going to be using Genesis, the 8th chapter, throughout my sermon. So I'd like you to be prepared for that. For an opening scripture, I want to read from the 8th chapter, the 5th verse. And the Lord said unto Noah, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for he shall know that all flesh shall die. Yea, his days shall be 120 years. And if men do not repent, I will send in the floods upon them. And then from Matthew, the 24th chapter, I'm sure most of you are familiar with this. But as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall also be at the coming of the Son of Man. For it shall be with them as it was in the days which were before the flood. For until the day that Noah entered into the ark, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be.
A pilgrim was I, and a wandering in the cold night of sin I did roam, when Jesus the kind shepherd found me, and now I am on my way home. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He restoreth my soul when I'm weary. He giveth me strength day by day. He leads me beside the still waters. He guards me each step of the way. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When I walk through the dark, lonesome valley, my Savior will walk with me there, and safely His great hand will lead me to the mansions He's gone to prepare. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my
life. I bring you greetings from Devon Park Branch. Most of you know our little branch is being sued by the COC, so we're struggling with that a little bit. But I also bring you greetings from the Quorum of 70. I feel privileged to represent the Quorum, and I feel very privileged and happy to be with you here today. For some reason, I feel a lot more nervous than normal. I don't know why. Maybe it's because you're so close. When I'm teaching, I love to have the people real close to me. So, but I'm glad to be here with you. I do have a message that I believe that the Lord has given me to give to you this morning. Those of you who know me, there's a number of in the room that know me personally, and I know you, and I'm glad to see that you're here, know that I can be a little bit sharp and a little bit sarcastic sometimes. And I want to talk directly to you, but I have read your mission statement on the internet, and it's a really good statement. So I know I'm talking to really good people. But we're facing a serious crisis in the land of Zion. And we have to look at ourselves and decide what we want to do. First of all, I would like you to know that I'm a member of the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I was baptized in the Inglewood Church in Inglewood, Missouri in 1949. I served as a priest for a number of years and then as an elder. And on April 20th of this past year, I was ordained to the office of 70. I knew I had this calling to the office of 70 since I was 8 years old. And so it took a long time. But I know this is my calling. And when I was ordained, I was given a special task to bring my vision of Zion to the people of the world. I truly believe that this is my calling. And I believe that's why I'm here this morning. I want to speak to you about Zion. And I'm going to use the story of Noah and the great flood as an allegory or a type and a shadow of our gathering to what I call the Latter-day Ark. Noah preached and warned the people that if they would not repent, they would be swept off when they were ripe in iniquity and in sin. The very same day that the Lord called Noah and his family into the ark and sealed the door, the floods began to come upon the earth. Now, somehow, I would like you to see if you can picture that moment. Can't you just imagine the people that were making fun of Noah and his family? They were saying, oh, that's just a little bit of rain. Can you imagine what Noah and his group were thinking? Noah and his people thinking that the flood's coming just because we're having a little bit of rain. What a bunch of foolish people. I ask you today, has the rain begun in your life? Has the rain been falling upon your children and your children's children and upon your grandchildren? Have you decided that you want to be safe and secure in the Latter-day Ark that God has provided us today? Think about it for a moment. The destruction that is upon the heads of our children. We as a people are drowning in the depths of sin that is all around us. You know what's around us. In fact, doesn't the chaos in Egypt bother you a little bit today? Earthquakes, famine, pestilence and disease, whoredoms and abominations. I substitute taught in the independent schools last year. I decided I'd never do that again. The language that I heard coming out of the mouths of 5 and 6 year old children, I just couldn't imagine. There's fornication and adultery and all manner of evil all around us. And these scenarios we see on television and in the movies, we listen to very evil and blasphemous music, and we call it entertainment. And we watch it on television for entertainment. And I have to admit, I love a good mystery. Don't you? Good mystery murder. But should we watch that murder and watch it for entertainment? You think that's what we ought to be doing? Now, the problem I have this morning, of course, is I know I'm talking to a good group of people. After all, you're called Saints Haven. I read your internet site and why you established this branch, because you wanted it to be a healing place where the saints could gather and prepare and equip the citizens of God's kingdom on earth, even Zion. I don't know how many of you know your mission statement, but that's it. So I was very pleased to read that mission statement. But let me continue. There's a song in the play South Pacific that goes something like this. You've got to be taught. You've got to be carefully taught. From year to year, it's got to be drummed in your dear little ear. You've got to be carefully taught. You've got to be taught before it's too late. Before you're 6 or 7 or 8, you've got to be carefully taught. What are we teaching our children? What are our children learning from us? We have taught ourselves to be entertained by the sins of the world. And this is what we're teaching our children. Because the floodwaters of sin are washing upon the feet of our children, we must therefore continually examine ourselves. We must ask ourselves, where do I stand in my relationship with God and with the Lord Jesus Christ? Where do I stand as an individual with my family, with my community, with my church? Does the true church of God actually exist? Does Zion exist today? You know, I've been all over the United States, and well, maybe you do believe it. I don't know. I couldn't believe it. Most people, if you ask them, does Zion exist, they say no. Most of the members of the church say no, Zion does not exist. Am I a part of the kingdom of God? Or am I just playing a game? A game to keep my family, my children, my friends in a socially acceptable group? Do I really believe? Am I contributing to the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Zion on earth? Am I a member of the church of the firstborn? To what church do I belong? A few years ago, I began asking the youth of our church, what church do you belong to? What do you think their answer was? They named their branch. Was that the church you belong to? Is your branch? So what church do we belong to? Do we even know its name? I know what church I belong to. I belong to the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I have no doubt that that's my church. Genesis 8th chapter, the 16th verse. Have I found grace in the eyes of the Lord? Because I am just and perfect in my generation, because I walk and talk with God. Look at the 7th verse, Genesis 8, the 7th verse. But the Lord was with Noah, and the power of the Lord was upon him, and the Lord ordained Noah after his own order, and commanded him that he should go forth and declare his gospel unto the children of men, even as it was given unto Enoch. Now, if you notice there, Noah was ordained after the order of God. In fact, you brought it up in Sunday school this morning. That priesthood known today is the Melchizedek priesthood. Noah and his people had the fullness of the priesthood, all of the keys that bring mankind into the kingdom of God. Noah had. He had the keys to the kingdom, and the people had the fullness of the gospel with all the rights, privileges, and ordinances just as we have today. He taught repentance and to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Do we today have the Melchizedek priesthood? Do we have it? Do we have the keys of the kingdom of God? I know what you'd do if I was in the Baptist church. You'd say, amen, brother. But I do see some of you nodding your heads, yes. We do have those things. We have the Melchizedek priesthood, and we have the keys to the kingdom of God. What happened to Noah and his people? They had everything they needed to have wonderful and beautiful lives. They had everything that they could have to bring them into the kingdom of God. Verse 8, Genesis 8:8. And it came to pass that Noah called upon the children of men that they should repent, but they hearkened not unto his words. How are we doing as a people today? Verse 9. And also after that they had heard him, they came up before him, saying, Behold, we are the sons of God. Have we not taken unto ourselves the daughters of men? Are we not eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, and our wives bear unto us children? And the same are mighty men, which are like unto them of old, men of great renown. And they hearkened not unto the words of Noah. They had everything. They had everything that you could want. They had food and clothes and shelter. They had the fullness of the gospel. They had all the rights that the church has today. But they would not hearken. They would not listen. Out of section 1, I don't want you to turn it. It takes too long if we switch back and forth. So just stay at Genesis. You know this scripture. But every man walketh in his own way, and after the image of his own God, whose image is in the likeness of the world, and whose substance is that of an idol, which waxeth old and shall perish in Babylon, even Babylon the great, which shall fall. Now look at Genesis 8, the 10th chapter, or the 10th verse. And God saw the wickedness of man had become great in the earth. Every man was lifted up in the imagination of the thoughts of his heart, being only evil continually. Does that sound like the same thing that we read in section 1 of the Doctrine and Covenants? Verses 11 and 12. And it came to pass that Noah continued his preaching unto the people, saying, Hearken and give heed unto my words, believe and repent of your sins, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, even as our fathers did, and ye shall receive the Holy Ghost, that ye may have all things made manifest. And if you do this, the floods, if you do not this, the floods will come in upon you. Nevertheless, they hearken not. Again, from section 1. And the day cometh that they who will not hear the voice of the Lord, neither the voice of his servants, neither give heed to the words of the prophets and apostles, shall be cut off from among the people. You see the parallel? The earth was corrupt before... Verse 17. The earth was corrupt before God, and it was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its ways upon the earth. Section 105. Verily, verily, I say unto you, darkness cover the earth, and gross darkness the minds of the people, and all flesh is become corrupt before my face. 8:18. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence, and behold, I will destroy all flesh from off the earth. Now I want to read to something to you that I just could not believe it. It was beyond my understanding. This is the conclusion of the crime report for the City of Independence 2009. Now, did you hear what I'm going to read to you? It's the crime report for the City of Independence for the year 2009. This is the conclusion. This is about the City of Zion, the City of Independence, the New Jerusalem. In the year 2009, Independence property crime levels tend to be much higher than the Missouri average level. These are the crimes of burglary, larceny, theft, and motor vehicle theft. Higher than the Missouri average. The same data shows violent crime levels in Independence tend to be higher than the Missouri average. These are the crimes of murder, manslaughter, forcible rape, robbery, and aggravated assault. I was shocked when I read that. I couldn't believe it. Certainly Kansas City has a higher level than Independence. What about St. Louis or Springfield? We in Independence have a higher crime rate than those cities. This is the city of Zion. So I'm asking you again, how are we doing as Latter-day Saints in Zion? The problem is, out of the population of Independence, Missouri, well, I probably ought to ask you, how many saints, percentage-wise, do you think the city of Independence has, who have gathered to Independence? Some of you are laughing because you know. You won't believe it. Only 3.2% of the population of Independence is Latter-day Saints. Can you believe that? This is a city where we are gathering from all over the world, and we say we believe in Zion. And only 3.2% of the population, now this is not counting the COC or the Mormons. I would suppose if we counted them, we might have 6%. But can you imagine, we say, we sing, we pray, we talk about Zion, and only 3.2% of the population is Latter-day Saints? What's wrong? Have we gathered to the ark? Have we been afraid of what's going out there and say we're going to come to the ark, the Latter-day ark? Or are we just playing a game? What are we doing? My question, saints, is are we ready for the flood? It's already raining, and the water is already gathered, and it's clear up to our necks, and we don't even know we're in the water. Sometimes I feel like Jacob, you know, Jacob in the second chapter. He said, "It grieves me that I must speak with such boldness, supposing that you have come up here today to hear the pleasing word of God, and instead you hear the words that pierce the soul." But saints, I do bring you good news. There is good news. Jesus has a plan for his people. For those who will listen and repent and endure, he has a place of peace, a place of safety, and a place of refuge. The Lord said unto Noah, verse 19, "Make thee therefore an ark of gopher wood." Verse 8:23, "With thee will I establish my covenant, even as I have sworn unto my father Enoch, that of thy posterity shall come all nations. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with them. And in every living thing of all flesh, two of every kind shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep alive with thee, they shall be male and female." Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. And the Lord said unto Noah, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee only have I seen righteousness before thee in this generation." So saints, I do have good news. Even if you have lived a life of sin, I really hope I have your attention because this is important. Even if you have lived a life of sin, if you've lived those sins of convenience, you know those are so easy to fall into. Should I say, like watching murder on television for entertainment? In fact, I wonder what some of you are going to do on Super Bowl Sunday. How are you going to spend that day? I hope no one in this room watches the Super Bowl, because that's not God's plan for the Sabbath day. So we fall into sins of convenience. But even if you have not lived according to God's plan, if you have been procrastinating, denying, delaying, there is still good news. Based upon your true repentance and acceptance of God's plan for Latter-day Israel, there is a Latter-day Ark waiting just for you. We can read about it in section 153. "Let my word be preached to the bruised, and to the brokenhearted as well as those who are enmeshed in sin, longing to repent and follow me. Let the truths of my gospel be proclaimed as widely as and as far as the dedication of the saints, especially through the exercise of their temporal stewardship, will allow. I might add here that the exercise of our temporal stewardship is at 2% right now. 2% of our saints are paying tithing. It's kind of hard to go out through to all the world with 2% tithing. We just can't do it. We don't have the money at 2%. My spirit is reaching out to numerous souls even now, and there are many who will respond if you, my people, will bear affirmative testimony of my love and my desires for all to come unto me. This is an invitation, saints. This is an invitation for all of you, no matter who you are, no matter how you've lived, no matter what you've done in the past. This is your invitation. You are invited to come into the ark. The Lord Jesus has a plan. It's called Zion, the New Jerusalem. It's a land of peace, a city of refuge, a place for the saints of the Most High God. Let me read further in section 45. And with one heart and with one mind, gather up your riches, that ye may purchase an inheritance which shall hereafter be appointed unto you, and it shall be called the New Jerusalem, a land of peace, a city of refuge, a place of safety for the saints of the Most High God. And the glory of the Lord shall be there, and the terror of the Lord also shall be there, insomuch that the wicked will not come unto it, and it shall be called Zion. And it shall come to pass among the wicked that every man that will not take up his sword against his neighbor must needs flee unto Zion for safety. And there shall be gathered into it out of every nation under heaven, and it shall be the only people that shall not be at war one with another. And it shall be said among the wicked, let us not go up into battle against Zion. For the inhabitants of Zion are terrible, wherefore we cannot stand. And it shall come to pass that the righteous shall be gathered out from among all nations, and shall come to Zion singing with songs of everlasting joy. Now let's go back to Genesis, the 29th, 8:29. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee only have I seen righteousness before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and his female, to keep seed alive upon the face of the earth. Saints, according to this formula, we have to have at least a 7-to-2 ratio in Zion for it to be successful. And where are we today? We only have 3%. Of the saints who have decided to gather and make Zion a place of safety and a place of peace. We're not even close to the 7-to-2 ratio. Verse 32, for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. What now is Noah commanded to do? What is he and his family commanded to do? They're commanded to go to work, right? They're commanded to build an ark. They can't just sit around and say, God, send me an ark. No, they had to build the ark. And that's what we have been commanded to do. We have been commanded to establish Zion and make it a place of peace and refuge and safety. We have not done that. We have not done it for over 100 years. We have disobeyed our Lord, we have not gathered, and we have not made Zion what it's supposed to be. We sit around instead and say, send us Zion. We wait on Zion. And that's not what we've been commanded to do. We have been commanded to establish Zion and to make it happen. The word cause, you've read that so many times. Establish the cause of Zion. That word means to bring it into existence, to make it happen, to do those things which make it exist. But saints, We've done a very, very poor job of it. We have been warned not to be at ease in Zion. In fact, I could ask this question, if Zion doesn't exist, how can we be at ease in it? Therefore, woe be unto him that is ease in Zion. Woe be unto him that crieth, all is well. Yea, woe be unto him that hearketh unto the precepts of men and denieth the power of God and the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Noah and his family, his sons and daughters, had to go to work. They were required to build the ark or die. They couldn't wait for God to build the ark for them. Lord, I'm waiting. Where's my ark? They couldn't sit around in meetings and committees. And I'm looking at some of us that do that. We can't sit around in meetings and committees discussing the pros and cons, meeting for maybe 1 or 2 hours a month, deciding, should we do it this way or should we do it that way? The Lord has already given us His plans. All He's asked us to do is go to work. He said, get it done or die. I was a plant manager for a company called Smoot Company for almost 20 years. We were a design and manufacturing company. I was in charge to see that things got built. We would put plans on the floor, step-by-step instructions, exactly what to do and exactly how to do it. My men would stand around in little groups discussing the plans. You know what I had to tell them to do? Go to work. Just build it. You have the plans. You have the directions. Just go build it. And they would look at me and say, well, I don't know if this or I don't know if that. Just do it. And if you make a mistake, we'll correct it. If there's something wrong in the plan, something you don't understand, you build a part wrong, we will rebuild it and make it right. Just go build it. Over and over and over again, I had to tell them, go to work. We have the same problems today. The Lord has given us all the plans that we need. He's given us the plans for over 100 years, and still we don't get the work done. It's simple. Work or die. They had to build the ark in spite of all the hardships, in spite of all the mockery, in spite of all the abuse. Can you imagine today if a man said, come out with me, there's a flood coming, I need to build an ark, will you all help me build it because the earth is going to be flooded? Can you imagine what people would say to us today? Well, that's what they're saying to us about Zion. That's what they're saying about independence. Why should I go to a crime-infested city where the saints argue and fight with each other? Why should I go there and put my family in that situation? Isn't that what we say? And yet the Lord said, this is where I want you to be. This is where I want you to live. This is where I want you to work. This is where I want you to establish your family and your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. I want you to live together so that we have a city that the people of the earth won't look at us and say, what a bunch of fools. How crazy is that bunch of people who think that they can live in Independence, Missouri and expect Christ to come to that place? Isn't that the condition we're in? What foolishness is it to think that independence is a place where the Lord Himself will come? Noah was commanded to build an ark, a place of peace, a place of refuge, a place of safety for his saints in his day. They were commanded to gather together and work together. They were commanded to bring their family together so that they might live. Remember in the book of Acts, when Peter saw the heavens open, and I saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descending upon him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again a second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. Just as our Lord used the vision of the beast to represent mankind, I'm using the same allegory with our latter-day ark. Noah was told to bring both the clean and the unclean into the ark. We have been commanded to grow up together with the wheat and tares. Isn't that what we've been commanded to do? That the wheat and tares will grow together. The problem with Zion is we have filled it up with tares and with very little wheat. Why won't we turn it around and fill Zion up with wheat so that we can deal with the tares? You understand what I'm saying? I am wasting my time here totally if you don't tell your children, your grandchildren, your aunts and uncles, your brothers and sisters to gather to Zion. That's what we have been commanded to do, and we have refused to do it. Joseph Smith III, when he took over the church in the reorganization, said there's two things that the saints won't do. They won't gather, and they won't pay their tithing. And we have not done it yet. From the Gospel of Luke. I tell you, in that night there shall be two in one bed. One shall be taken, the other shall be left. There shall be two grinding together. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two shall be in the field, and one shall be taken, the other left. And they answered and said to him, Where, Lord, shall they be taken? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is gathered, or in other words, whithersoever the saints are gathered, thither will the eagles be gathered together, or thither will the remainder be gathered together. Thus he spoke, signifying the gathering of his saints, and of angels descending and gathering the remainder unto them, the one from one bed, the other from the grinding, and one other from the field, wheresoever he listeth. For verily there shall be new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And there shall be no unclean thing there. For the earth becoming old, even as a garment having waxed in corruption, wherefore it vanished away, and the footstool remaineth sanctified, cleansed from all sin. Saints, we must understand that we have been invited to the greatest event in history. It parallels Noah and the flood. How many of you believe in Noah and the flood? You believe that really happened? If you believe that happened, you must believe that you've got to be at the table at the marriage supper, or you will die. Just as Noah and his people, if they didn't obey and didn't go into the ark, they would die. And this is where we are today. I also want you to understand, if you think that you can live out here or there or everywhere after all the invitations, and then somehow magically you're going to be moved from your bed to Zion, that's not going to happen. You have already been commanded to come to Zion, and if you won't come at the invitation, you're not going to come just like that. This gathering that's talked about in Luke is for those who can't get here. Do you think there's problems with people getting here from India? People having a hard time getting here from Africa and from all other kinds of places on the earth? They're the ones that's going to be gathered. Not us who have the opportunity to come and have had the opportunity to come for years. If you won't come at the invitation that you have now, you're not going to be invited to come at this great gathering that's talked about in Luke. In Hebrews we read, By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. This great event envisioned by our forefathers began with Adam himself, with Enoch, with Nephi, with Alma, with Helium, with Helaman, with Moroni. And it is the hope and the promise that was given to Joseph Smith Jr. and his posterity. We have been invited to come aboard the latter-day ark called Zion, the New Jerusalem. We have been invited to help with its construction, just as the sons of Noah worked together to build their ark. We have been called to gather together both the clean and the unclean into a specific place so that we can prepare for the kingdom of God in heaven to come down to meet the kingdom of God on earth. To this end, the saints should work together in rich fraternity which can and will prevail among them when they keep faithfully the commandments. But firstly, let my army become great, and let it be sanctified before me, that it may become fair as the sun and clear as the moon, and that her banners may be terrible unto all nations. Now listen to this, because I hear this debated, that the kingdoms of this world may be constrained to acknowledge that the kingdom of Zion is in very deed the kingdom of our God and his Christ. Zion is the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is Zion. We are called to come together and make a great army, and we haven't done it yet. We pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and we are called to make that day happen. Now, saints, I know I've been maybe a little harsh, I don't know. I know, I see so many of you that I know personally. I know Zion has been in your hearts from probably before you were born. It was in your mother's womb. But saints, we've got to do something different than we've done in the past. We can't just keep sitting around talking about Zion. We have to make it happen. We have to make it part of our lives. We have to think about it and talk about it and practice it and make it become a part of our lives. When I met my wife while I was in the military, she was of Catholic persuasion. I told her before we got married, I said, I'm willing. I want to marry you. But this is the deal. You have to live in Zion, in Independence, Missouri. We have to raise our children here. If you can't do that, we can't get married. That was the deal. Zion has to be embedded in us so deeply that we transfer this belief, this thought, this understanding to our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. Our brothers and sisters, our aunts and uncles, our friends and our neighbors all need to know that we believe in Zion. And we have to know where it is. It's in Independence, Missouri. That is the gathering place. That's where the Lord told us to gather. Now, I also have this debate. What do you think, Zion is the only place we are together? Independence, Missouri? Yes, that's the only place. And then we're supposed to enlarge his borders and go out from there. Wouldn't you like to have your children and your grandchildren rubbing elbows with the kids at school that all belong to the church? Wouldn't you like to have that? Wouldn't you like to go to the stores and the restaurants? Wouldn't you like to have the people who come and paint your house and work on your roof? Wouldn't you like them all to be members of the church? And we can only do that if we gather together and make the city what it's supposed to be. I thank you for letting me come today. I do pray that God will bless you in this little branch here. I believe from reading your mission statement that you are a group of people that will help build the kingdom. I believe that you're going to make it real in the lives of the people who attend here. I believe that you're going to preach and teach and witness and make Zion happen today. May God bless you is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before we close, just have a scripture to read from section 34 of the Doctrine and Covenants. It's a short scripture. I'll be reading 6a through 6d. Keep all the commandments and covenants by which ye are bound, and I will cause the heavens to shake for your good, and Satan shall tremble, and Zion shall rejoice upon the hills and flourish, and Israel shall be saved in my own due time. And by the keys which I have given shall they all be led, and then there should be no more confounded at all. Lift up your hearts and be glad, for your redemption draweth nigh. Feareth not, little flock, the kingdom is yours until I come. Behold, I come quickly, even so. Amen. What a wonderful opportunity we've had to come together in the name of Jesus to recognize the opportunity we have to not to look back, but to look at the opportunities that await us going forward. Let's close our time that we have together by singing hymn number 214. Israel, Israel, God is calling. We'll stand for this, and Brother Brian will dismiss our time that we have together.
Beautiful day. I thank you for sending your spirit down to be with us, and I thank you for this sermon, and we needed to hear every bit of it. I thank you for all the many blessings that you've given us, and I ask that you please bless this food during potluck, that it might nourish and strengthen our bodies, and please be with us for the rest of the day. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen.